I was preparing for a message this morning, and about 4 or 5 days ago, I was into it, and I'm right in the middle of my message. It's going, I thought, quite well, but then Thanksgiving came, and I just couldn't get that Thanksgiving message off my mind. Even though generally a message is given before the holiday, I just couldn't get that off my mind. So I thought, well, I'm just going to go with it. And then I kind of felt like when Brother Dave was praying, he said something like, I thank the Lord, and you know, we have more than Thanksgiving just on Thanksgiving Day. I kind of felt like, oh, that was a little confirmation to me. Because I, you know, usually we don't talk about a holiday afterwards, but you know, this is the Thanksgiving. And with all that's going on, and all the, you know, as we'd already said in our prayers, that, you know, the COVID going on, the election and everything, it's so easy to forget sight of some things. So I kind of felt like God just kind of somehow dropped it into my heart that I just didn't want to leave this holiday, because we haven't actually had a message on this. And so I'd like to open up with a couple of poems. I like poems. So I'd like to open up with a couple Thanksgiving poems. And the title of my message is Thanksgiving for the Inheritance for Christians. So we're going to go with that this morning. If while I'm reading this, you want to open up your Bibles to our very first scripture that we'll read in our main theme scriptures in Colossians. It's in the middle of the New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 through 12. So if you want to go to 1:9 while I'm reading, our best Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving time is here. So our minds have been turned to what time has taught us, to what we have learned. We often focus all of our thought on shiny things we've shopped and bought. We take our pleasure in material things, forgetting the pleasure that friendship brings. It is a lot of stuff just vanished today. We'll see the foundation of each happy day. Is special relationships constant and true? And that's when our thoughts go directly to you. We wish you a Thanksgiving you'll never forget, full of love and joy, your best one yet. There's one more small short poem I'd like to read. We're thankful for. We're thankful for the basics, food, clothing, and comfortable shelter. The rest is a bountiful bonus. We're thankful for work, play, and the treasured people who make these experiences richer and more meaningful. We're most thankful for family and friends, especially the dear friends who are hearing this morning. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, but we're going to talk about the Thanksgiving and some of the things I thought that we kind of could focus on this morning. And we'd like to begin to read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask you that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the God Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us, I said 12, I know, let's read 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us unto us into the kingdom of the Son with His love. You know, so many times when we think of Thanksgiving, we think of those monetary things. We think of things that we have or don't have. But you know, I want us to focus on being thankful for the bountiful blessings that God gives us. He gives us great, you know, friends, He gives us victory, and He gives us joy, and He gives us things that you cannot buy. No matter how wealthy you are, what you have or you don't have, there are just some things you can't buy. And I'm so thankful for those inheritance and those things that God gives to us as Christians. He gives us one another. And so I'm so grateful for that this morning. I'm so grateful that he gives us the inheritance of Christians, and with that comes the goodness and grace of God. Grace is something that we don't deserve, but he gives it to us. Grace is something that, you know, we find in God's family. Those that aren't in God's family are out of the grace. That's why there are special things that are in God's family that are special that we inherit as Christians. Galatians 6:2 says, "Let us be good to all men, especially unto those that are of the household of faith." There are some things that we can be so thankful for that we have. We have because of his goodness, and because we're Christians, and because we are a family. We're creatures that God, you know, has made us, and we have life privileges, we have life, and we have preservation in the kingdom. There are things that, you know, are special to Christians, and without it, it's not there. The scriptures even say sometimes it's hard to understand the word of God because they don't have the mind of Christ. But we live in a different world. We live in the kingdom world. We live in a world. We all live here on earth, but we in our minds and in our hearts and our spirits, I believe, live in a world that we can be so thankful for. It's the kingdom world that Jesus came in to revolutionize. He changed us. He even took away the Old Testament and gave us a New Testament. We no longer have to sacrifice lambs. We no longer have to sacrifice and go to the priest. We can come directly to the advocate. We can go directly to the Savior to ask forgiveness for our sins. It's a whole different world. It's a whole different ball game because of him. We're so thankful for that. I have a special fan club over here. They're in two pews. They're going to help me this morning. They're going to read some scriptures for us. I just called you special fans. So whoever has Luke 6, 27 and 28, would you please read that for us this morning? Luke 6. You know, I found out that's harder to do than it seems. You know, Jesus, he talks about pray for those that use you, hurt you. He even said in my New Testament it says the word hate, those that hate you, pray for those. You know, I found that's hard. Because I'll tell you, when I found out it was hard, our next door neighbor, they don't talk to us. One of them I'm really good friends with, and man, we could talk for an hour and, you know, have a great relationship. And the other one, they don't want anything to do with anybody in the neighborhood. Nobody. They won't wave their hand to us, and I it's hard for me because I think I'm a pretty social person, and it's like I want to wave. Nothing. So one day Jean says to me, she says, "You know, you need to pray for them." I said, "Prayer ain't going to change those folks. They won't even wave to me." So one day when I was in here, we were having a little day of prayer, you know, I felt God speak to me, "Pray for them." And you know, that's when I found out. It's really hard to pray. I'm being honest with you. I'm just one of you. It's hard to pray for those that hurt you, despise you, don't look at you, won't wave to you, won't say hi. They don't want anything to do with you. That's when I found out that's really hard to do. So I remember I was kneeling in a pew, and I said, "God, yeah, I know you've dropped in my heart to pray for those people." And I prayed for them. Now, I have to admit, I don't pray for them a lot. Yes, I know it. You know, we all find, we all have weaknesses, don't we? You know, we all love to, you know, love it when, you know, our strengths and our positives come out. So we don't really like to admit our weaknesses. But I found that's a weakness of mine. And so I say, "Lord, I'm going to lay this on the altar and I'm going to pray for these folks." And since I have, it has been just a little bit better. A little. Not a lot, but a little. So you know what? I'll take it. But you know, that's what, you know, it is. It is. You know, the Christian life, you know, it you know, we have to work at it. We have to move into it, and we have to accept it. But I'm glad for prayer, because I know that prayer changes things. And you know, I like this. I don't know where I heard this, but prayer changes people. Prayer changes me. I admit to you that, you know, there's a weakness there, but you know what? I'm working on it. And that's all we can do, is work on our weaknesses and give them to Him. But you know, I'm glad that in the light of eternity, He gives us knowledge. He gives us the characteristics of Christ. He gives us light. In what we have, the light we have to walk in is the light we walk in. And one time I was dealing with somebody years ago, it wasn't around here. I was explaining something in the scripture to someone, and they said, hold it. I don't want to hear it. Because I know that the light that I have to work in, is the light I have to account to, and I don't want to know anymore. Yikes. If you refuse the light, you'll still answer for it. You know, the gospel's our light. Be the light in the darkness. It's living the call. So that light that God gives us, we need to walk in it. And we need to be thankful we can walk in it. And I'm so glad that we don't have to earn it, we don't have to work for it, and we don't have to buy it. It's freely given to us. I'm so grateful for that. It's the thanksgiving that we have. It's our inheritance. And you know, we can't buy that. No matter what wealth we have, no matter what rank we have, no matter what learning we have, no matter if we have a college degree, no matter what we have, we cannot buy sanctification, we can't buy salvation, and we can't buy grace. We can't do it. In the New Testament, there was one lady that was upset with Paul. Because, you know, she wanted to, or maybe it was a he, but he wanted to buy what he had because he thought it was so good. And Paul said, you can't have it. It's not bought with a price. It's not bought with the monetary means, because it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And I want our minds to be on the spiritual gravity of it all, because in the midst of a year that, you know, none of us has ever seen anything like this. Can you imagine? Do you ever think you'd go into stores and see children have to wear masks? Did you ever think? I mean, I used to think masks were for those that went into the banks and was going to rob the local store, the robbers who were banks. You see them on stagecoaches on the West, and they rob the stagecoaches with masks on. Who ever thought we'd all be robbers? I'm kidding ya. Kidding ya. Who ever thought we'd all be wearing masks? I mean, come on. Really, can you wrap your mind around it? It's quite something. I remember, when 2000 came, the Y2K, they called it. People were preparing. We really thought the computer systems were going to crash because, you know, the computer systems never saw the 0000. I mean, it really seemed like it was going to be something, but we got through it. And so in my mind, I had to say, Lord, we're going to get through this. This too will pass, but we have to be earnest in our heart that God will bring us through this. And you know, Brother Jenks said something I thought was unusual. He said, if some reason I get this and I pass, he said, it just having joy in God with me just because I know where I'm going. But wow, you know, that's really something. So sometimes we hear something, but when we really ponder it, it has such meaning. Wow. If I get this, he said, just be grateful. I know where I'm going. And he truly can say that. Wow, 80 years old, he just going full strength, all that he has, all in for God. Wow. I'd like us to sing a song. Not right now. I'd like to sing a song in our heart. I'd like us to be vocal with God. I'd like us to be vocal with Him. I'd like us to be honest with each other and honest with God. Because I believe that He'll give us the victory when we say what we feel, when we say the right things, when we talk positive. Now, I'm not a motivational speaker, but I do believe that sometimes we speak too much negativity and our minds pick it up. We can speak songs to the Lord. David said, sing songs, praise songs, bring them aloud. He said, bring them aloud. And so sometimes, you know, we need to do this and just bring our minds and our thoughts in focus to the Word of God. Somebody, I gave James 1:26. I'd like them to read that for us. Wow. Can you imagine? If we can't bridle our own tongue, our religion is vain and worthless. Oh my goodness. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be strong. Help us to be, you know, I want to be stronger this week than I was last week. And the only way to do that is to stay in the Spirit and stay in gratitude and stay in thanksgiving for what He's done. Because we all see what's going on around us, but we got to keep focused and we got to keep in the Word and knowing that God never changes. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, or forever. Bridle our tongue. We can speak positive, we can speak good things, and we can speak the gift of tongues. We can speak in tongues. We can speak the gifts. We can speak earnestly. We can speak wonderful things. We were somewhere recently visiting, and someone, you know, kind of had kind of a negativity to some of the thoughts, and Jean and I didn't take it badly. We just take it with a grain of salt and show them the goodness, show them the fruit. You know, you don't have to be combative. You don't have to show, you know, horrible things or say bad things to people. If somebody says something to you, excuse me, and you don't agree with it, then just try to do what James said, bridle our tongue and show love. I know that's not as easy to do as it says, but we want to walk in love. We want to be disciples of His. Then that's part of it. That's part of it. And it was noticeable. Somebody later said, wow, that was really something how you handled that. We didn't handle it any differently than we'd handle it any time because we're used to doing that. Bridle our tongue. I need to do that more. We just need to do that. But we can be thankful that He gives us a spirit to do that. And that's what I'm trying to convey this morning is our inheritance as Christians is so different than the inheritance of the world. It's practical. It's devotion to the service of our Lord. And sometimes it's conscious, and sometimes it's unconscious. Sometimes I believe God helps us, you know, in ways that we don't even realize that we're doing. But sometimes I believe we need to consciously think, I'm going to hold my peace. I'm going to hold my peace. Somebody in the fan club has 1 Corinthians 1:4, and they're going to read that for us. Wow. Isn't that great? I always thank God for you. When things are going bad, I thank the Lord for you. When you're going through a trial, I thank the Lord for you. When you have temptations you can't seem to overcome, I thank the Lord for you. Because Paul was saying, I want to be there for you. I want you in my prayers. And I want the best for you, for your care, safety, security, and your best welfare. Wow. What an example Paul gave us. What an example. Who wrote more of the New Testament than any one person? You've heard me before. Paul. So he's our example. He's a good role model. He is a good role model. But these things that we want for you and these things in our hearts have to be accomplished through the Spirit of God as we yield to Him. We can't do it on our own. And that's what, you know, I've realized through the years, and the older I get, I realize we can't do it on our own. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes us being embodied in Christ, completely smothered in Jesus. And I like that song we sung because it truly is the name above all other names. It truly is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one and only, the one. Jesus said, do you know there are some people trying to get heaven through, with, you know, they want to go to heaven, but they want to get there some other way. But Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. And if you open the door, you can walk into the gates of heaven by accepting Jesus as our Savior. But without it, there's no other way. He said, some are trying to claim up other ways, but there's only one way. And Jesus said, as you know, I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the life. So without him, we aren't complete. I'm thankful. Be grateful for all the blessings that God gives us. And they are not always monetary. He gives us one another. He gives us joy. He gives us victory. He gives us his word. Wow. The most precious thing. Down through the Middle Ages, you couldn't hardly find the word. It was hidden. Then there came a time when only the priest had it locked. They had it literally chained to the pulpit. The congregation wasn't allowed to have it. They only read what they wanted you to hear. Thank God we have 66 books that we believe are inspired of the Word of God. Thank God for it. It's a light. And you hear me pray, because I mean it. It's a light into our pathway. It's our light forward. It's our light into eternity. Praise God. We have access to wonderful things. And you know, as I was making my notes, I thought, we have access to forgiveness. But forgiveness isn't just for what we receive. Forgiveness is what we give. Sometimes people do something wrong against us, and we have to forgive them. And again, that's why I said, it's, you know, it's easy to hear, and it's easy to know, and it's easy when somebody hears it, you know, but it's a little different when it falls unto us. I remember years ago, I was on a praise team. We had several, and it was so nice, but I said something to somebody, and I forget what it was now, but I remember this. Later, I was convicted in my heart. I shouldn't have said it. I said it, it was slightly sarcastic, and I don't remember what I said, but I remember saying something that bothered me. So I went to this person, and I said, so-and-so, I said this, and I just want you to forgive me. I apologize for saying that. I shouldn't have said it. And they said, we didn't think anything of it. I said, but it bothered me. And see, forgiveness goes both ways. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness is a two-way street. If we want God to forgive us, the scripture says we have to forgive others. That sounds easy until you really have to do it. So pray that God will give us that spirit that he wants us to have, to be able to do these things that Jesus did. They persecuted him, yet he forgave him. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and they nailed him to a cross. And yet, in all of this, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm thankful for forgiveness, and I'm thankful that I can forgive others. I just hope and pray that something I say this morning, and you know, whenever you hear a message, sometimes there'll be one point that'll just touch your heart. And so, and that's what we want to do this morning. You know, so one thing might, touch George's heart. Another thing might, you know, reach Jeff. And another thing might reach Jill. And, you know, it's like a scattergun. It's, you know, it goes out. And then, wow, but if we could just receive something that will encourage us or touch us or make us grow and mature in him, how thankful I will be. The other night, I heard one of the most amazing testimonies I've actually seen on national television. And it came through this series called Unsolved Mysteries. I was personally blown away. I saw this and couldn't believe that this was on Unsolved Mysteries, national television. There was a lady, I don't remember all the details, but I will tell you what I saw and what I remember. A woman was heading home, and she was riding. She was alone. And the temperature outside was minus 25 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 25 degrees. And she was on her way home. And she slid off the road, and she got out of her car, and she was trying to get home and trying to get to a neighbor's house, get somewhere. And she got so cold, finally she fell into the snow, and she literally froze to death, or so it seemed. When she was found the next morning, she was literally stiff. Her body was literally stiff. She was froze, minus 25 degrees. She was froze almost, but to death. They took her to the emergency room, and they showed she was literally stiff. Her eyes was open. It was just remarkable. And they said, I don't know what we can do for this lady. She was absolutely froze. So the emergency staff put some warm compresses on her and started putting things in. What can we do? As they did that, her feet turned black, as you know what can happen to frostbite. And she literally was in. Some others had died that night. They said some others had froze to death. But somebody got word. Somebody got word that this lady was in the emergency room, froze, literally froze. And they said, we're putting her on a prayer chain. This makes me emotional because I think about how thankful we are that we know the power of prayer. They put on the prayer chain, and he said it went out to 30 people, and 30 people began to pray and seek God for this lady who was in the emergency room, literally dying or dead, who knew, froze. And prayer went out to 30 people on the prayer chain, and they said this on national television. This is the story. And he said they got a faint heartbeat. This lady's froze. And they said it was only 10. They finally got a faint heartbeat, and it was only 10 beats per minute. A heartbeat, 60, 70, 80, some are 100. 10 faint heartbeat. And they said, well, we'll just keep, warming her and doing what we can. And pretty soon she basically thawed out, began to get a little bit warm, but they had a faint heartbeat. So they had and they said right on the air, they said, this lady needs a miracle, needs a miracle. And the doctors began to think, what limbs do we have to amputate? What do we have to do? What do we have to do to keep this lady alive? But as the staff worked on her, as her body began to warm, and, of course, there can be brain damage when there's no oxygen. Usually that happens after only four minutes. And this was a whole lot longer than that. But she had something going for her that medical science didn't have. She had 30 people on the prayer chain earnestly praying. And as she came, and as time went on, hours went on, and she was totally in the hospital for 47 days. But I want to tell you, without belaboring the story, after 47 days, that woman walked out of the hospital without any amputation, without any brain damage, and without anything in her life. She was brought back to life, seemingly, lost no limbs, lost no function of her body, and went on to live a normal life like you and I. Minus 25 degrees, froze solid, and wow, the power of prayer. And I saw this on Unsolved Mysteries. Wow, I'm so thankful I saw it. But we serve a living, true God. We serve a new supernatural God, living, breathing, and able to answer abundantly above what we could ask or think. Our inheritance of Christians. Wow. So I hope that I can encourage you this morning with the things that we have and being prayerful and thankful for our season and thankful, even though we see negativity, even though we feel it at times, knowing that God is the same. and he blesses us, and he's really with us. He walks with us, talks with us. In Jesus' name. I'd like to end our service with a little prayer in a different way. It's a poem, Thanksgiving poem, that says, "Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy to us in good times and bad. Your support and love through everything is the best gift we've ever had. On Thanksgiving, we praise your endless love. Your miracles abound. Your Bible gives us wisdom, strength, and hope. Each day, your blessings abound. We praise and thank you for your loving care and for listening to our every prayer." God bless each and every one of you, and I hope you have a wonderful day and a wonderful future week and month, November and December. God bless you. You're dismissed.